Very special guest today. His name is Mike Frank. He's with the Heritage Foundation. He is the Vice President for Government Studies. He oversees the Heritage Foundation outreach to Capitol Hill and the White House. And his extensive political knowledge and expertise, it makes him sought by people like Politico or publications like Politico, New York Times, New York Post. He's been on CBS and Fox News. He's worked on Capitol Hill. Mr. Frank, thank you so much for joining us today.
How you doing? Good to be here.
Doing great. Doing great. Tell us, you know, for our listeners, tell us what the mission of the Heritage Foundation does, and then more specifically, what the VP of Government Studies does at the Heritage Foundation.
Sure. Well, Heritage Foundation is a conservative think tank. We are dedicated to the proposition that limited government is best, that taxes should be lower and regulations lighter and more rational. National security should be a priority, in fact, the priority for the federal government, and our primary target audience is Capitol Hill, the members of Congress and their staffs. And when we publish studies and we hold seminars, we do it with that audience in mind. So we're trying to basically get inside their heads, help them do their jobs better, help them understand the issues, give them ammunition to use in debates with liberals and so on, and basically be a resource for the good guys and good girls up on Capitol Hill.
All right. All right. Just dive right into politics today. The Iowa caucus, the results came out. We now have them. What do you think?
Well, obviously, it's I think probably the big winner would be Romney, because he did surpass expectations as they had been established a couple of weeks earlier, where people felt he wasn't really going to be that competitive in Iowa relative to, say, states like New Hampshire. And obviously, Rick Santorum is now given an opportunity to be heard. You know, he was the one who, during all the debates, seemed to constantly be irritated that he wasn't getting enough airtime. Well, now there's no option but to give him a whole lot of airtime, and the American people will be, in some ways, introduced to him for the very, very first time. I mean, a lot of Iowans had him probably around their dinner table and in their kitchens and so on over the last number of months, and he must have done very well with them. You know, at some point, I think what happened with him, a lot of people, I have a good friend who was involved in this campaign, constantly said he would hear people say, I like you, you're great, you know, I might want to vote for you, but you don't have a chance, right? and they would not vote for him, or say they weren't going to vote for him, because of the kind of calculated sense that, well, I want to make my vote meaningful. And at some point, within the last week or so, he became meaningful in the eyes of a whole lot of those voters, and what it told you is that he had made a good enough impression on enough people to really make to be the easy option for them if they felt that all the others were not going to be viable. And clearly they didn't like Romney, the folks who went for Santorum. So now he's got a chance to basically introduce himself to folks in New Hampshire and South Carolina. Those are very different kinds of states, and South Carolina, for example, is full of a lot of military veterans. If you look at the active military soldiers and the families, that's a different dynamic that'll be at work politically than some of the other states. In New Hampshire, I think you have a lot of folks up there who it's trended a little bit blue toward the liberal side in recent elections, but you still have a lot of refugees from Massachusetts who didn't like the high taxes and didn't like the big government approach. And they fled over the border to New Hampshire. So you're going to get a lot of limited government folks there, especially in the Republican primary, who will take a long, hard look at a guy like Santorum and weigh him against someone like Ron Paul. You know, Ron Paul also did quite well. I mean, he
did.
When you think about it, you know, we always felt his ceiling was somewhere in the maybe 10, 12, or even 15% range, and he got 21. So, you know, it's a good night for all three of them. It tells you that the Republican race is, has been sort of reached it. The deck has been shuffled a little bit. You know, you have to wonder about Bachman and Perry. Do they stay in or not? And I think Newt will probably stay in for a while. But it's a completely different deck than it looked like it was just 10 days ago.
Well, you just said that you think Gingrich will stay in for a while, or Newt Gingrich will stay in for a while. Is that to say that you think that his chances are becoming more and more slim?
Well, he was on the receiving end of a lot of negative ads.
Right.
And he didn't really respond. And I think one of the lessons of Iowa is probably, if you're a consultant in one of these campaigns, is negative campaigning, negative ads still work.
Sadly.
If you look at Newt, he was trying in the debates and in a lot of his public appearances to to use carrots and not sticks. And he was complimenting his rivals. He really wasn't attacking people directly. He was trying to mount a campaign based on his ideas and his vision. And I think what he woke up one day and realized that, you know, that's not enough in this day and age. And you have these super PACs, and they're dropping millions of dollars in defining you in the eyes of these voters. And unfortunately for him, you know, he didn't have any way to redirect that and define himself for those voters.
I see. What do you say to the people that would say that Romney got 25%? That's about where he's been. That's about where he's going to stay. And folks are looking for an alternative to Romney. And because of that, he's vulnerable. What would you say to that?
I think it's a legitimate critique, because this has been such an unusual dynamic at work, where there's been so many stars rising only to fall again within a matter of weeks. And you have to wonder, is Santorum the latest version of that? And is it, is this going to end up being like one of those Agatha Christie novels, where Romney's the last man left standing after all
right.
These candidates have their moment in the sun? It's unclear. But what is clear is that he's a lot of people's second choice. And he hasn't created if you want to think about it, this is not like what happened with Obama, where there was a torrid love affair, between Obama and the Democratic primary voting base. This is much more of a calculated, almost like a match. There's a matchmaker saying, this is the guy that might beat Obama in a rational, detached way. Let's make the case for him. And if you like that, if you really think it's important to beat Obama, well, maybe you want to vote for Romney. It's not because they're driven to him, or like a magnetic force of, some passionate embrace that this is our man. It's a different kind of an attraction, politically speaking. And, does it have durability? We'll have to see. But it certainly is more, I think, people thinking with their heads and acting rationally, like you might pick a stock or something because of some track record, not because you love the company, but, man, this may give us a dividend every year.
Gotcha. It kind of sounds like it's setting up as the primary anybody but Romney, then, and then in the general election, anybody but Obama.
Yeah.
It's kind of how
it's a good way to put it.
Kind of how it is. It kind of is setting up that way. Let me ask you that. Given those facts or given that discussion, do you see any late entries into the field in 2012? You see that happening?
Well, I think what you'd have to have happen for that is a multiple candidate field that's all where they're all viable. If Newt Gingrich were to become more viable now, in other words, if you had about four candidates consistently between 15 and 30%, in trading primary victories, then you might actually get to the point. But given that the what happens about March 1st is all those primaries from March 1st on are proportional. So you get 15-20% of the vote, you're going to get 15-20% of the delegates. That suggests that if this thing can be made, can remain unresolved through the end of February, you have a real shot at a brokered convention or a real shot at nobody going to Tampa with a majority of the delegates. And that's the question. Will Ron Paul remain viable enough? They start getting these chunks of delegates. Will Santorum stay viable? Can Newt get back in? If Perry drops out, if the field starts to clear, then it really would, if it's Romney and one other person, he can probably win that. But if you have multiple candidates, I've heard some very smart people who've been in Republican politics for a very, very long time speak somewhat seriously about the idea of a brokered convention.
You mentioned Ron Paul just a moment ago. I wanted to ask you, do you think with his views on foreign policy, do you think he's got a shot to win?
Well, what's funny about him? I remember noticing this in the 2008 election cycle as well. If you look up some of the databases on who gives money, and people have to fill out, if you give more than, I think, $250, you have to list not just your name and address and how much you gave and who you gave it to, but also your occupation, your job title, who you work for, that kind of thing. Mm. And Ron Paul did very, very well among military veterans, people who are active military. If you search by, employment, U.S. Navy, U.S. Army, so on and so forth, he was very, very much in competition with even John McCain for that audience. And that surprised me. And I think I've seen recently reports indicating he still does very well among active military. So, South Carolina, That's the kind of population you have down there in many ways.
Right.
Does that mean that Ron Paul will surprise people and go in there and talk about, you know, pulling everybody out of South Korea and Europe and so on, and Iraq and Afghanistan? And maybe that resonates somewhat. I don't know. It surprises me, but it seems to be a fact.
We are talking today to Mike Frank from the Heritage Foundation. One last question for you as we wrap up this segment. Who do you think that, if Romney does get the nomination, who do you think he'll choose as his running mate? And can they beat an Obama ticket?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the Republican field is he's probably going to look for a VP outside of the field of people who are actually running for president. And it's a very good bench right now in that regard. You have guys like Paul Ryan and Governor Christie, Rubio in Florida, all of whom bring certain strengths to the table in terms of being considered for a run. Mitch Daniels in Indiana. You know, the universe of governors and some of these young rising stars on Capitol Hill could really be alluring for somebody who's trying to figure out what the right ticket is to, you know, how do you balance it out. And I think, if nothing else, he's gonna want to pick somebody who has impeccable conservative credentials, because that's going to be a lingering question that people will have in their minds. Is he gonna move more toward the middle and be a classic, you know, Republican moderate once he gets through the primaries, or is he going to be as conservative as he says he is? And the vice presidential selection could very well be an indicator of that.
Got it. Good. All right. We're talking today to Mike Franco of the Heritage Foundation. Mr. Frank, if someone wants to go to the Heritage Foundation, find out how to get involved, find out more about you, how would they do that?
Well, our website is heritage.org.
Okay.
And if you go there, you'll find everything, including the kitchen sink, every paper we've ever written. You can see footage of our events that we host here. You name it, it's going to be there.
Mr. Frank, thanks so much for being with us. I had a great time.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
All right. We're